I'm Bill Preston. My work is published under William Preston. Most of my work has appeared in Asimov's science fiction. I consider myself a writer of whatever it is that comes to me, and a lot of the times that's speculative fiction.
This is the first episode of a series with William Preston about Tales of the Old Man. William Preston is a frequent contributor to Asimov's science fiction magazine. He has also won the Zoetrope All-Story Fiction Prize. He recently retired from teaching at the Manlius Pebble Hill School, where he explored what literature works in the company of young people. He currently lives in Syracuse, New York, where he makes careful use of his time to write speculative fiction and think about patience. Hey, William, welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks for having me. It's great to see you again.
Yeah, you too. Yeah, we get all technical and involved and we didn't say hi to each other, but it's, you know,
I'm an engineer.
Right? It's sort of a comes with
business,
the occupation.
It's business.
You've got a series of five stories, and can you tell us about what's going on there?
Sure. Well, that's kind of collectively known as the Old Man Tales. Or Tales of the Old Man. I don't have really an official designation. But it's a character who was meant to reference pulp heroes, most especially Doc Savage, but other pulp heroes in pulp literature, if you will, traditions. And so kind of an adventure slash science fiction story, a series of stories that started as one story with there being no intention of writing any subsequent stories, which I think helped me in a lot of ways because I didn't spend time when writing the first story in thinking about how to set up what I was going to do. So instead, I had just done something intact that worked, that Asimov's purchased. And then I saw how I could do more with it and tell a longer narrative arc. And really, even before the first story had appeared in print, I had figured out something of what that arc would look like. And now I've completed it.
Nice. So I read some of your work. Where is it at among this series of five stories?
You mean, where are we now in the series of five stories? The newest one you read, the one I just sent you. The latest one is To Make an End, which, as you might assume, is the last one, given that kind of title. So that is the fifth and final story. The stories take place in different time periods across a century of adventures for this character. How this character is around so long is explained within the structure of the stories, within some of the plotting of the stories. The first story takes place in 2001 to 2002. The second story to appear took place in 1962. The third story takes place in 25. And then the fourth story is, I believe, 2006 to 2007, somewhere in there. It's hard to remember now. And then the final story takes place about 10 years from now.
Okay. And what I heard you describe is a nonlinear time frame. So
yes,
how does tell us about that?
It seemed like, I don't know if it was the best way to tell the story, but from once I realized I wanted to have more than one story about this, I told the story, the long arc of the story, in a sequence that I think made dramatic sense to me in terms of information I wanted to convey and background I wanted to give on the character. And so, and again, it wasn't it was fully thought out in terms of, I think this is what I want, but I wouldn't say it was fully thought out in terms of, and what does that necessarily mean for me in the composition process, or what does that even mean for readers? I think you could read the stories in any order, but it's certainly true that if you read them in the order in which they were published, you benefit from the ones that were published previously. There are threads that interweave, things that move kind of back and forth. So there's a sense of almost timelessness in the way the stories are built. And then when you read the final story, it draws on everything that happened in the other four stories and hopefully ties all that together. But I think you could also read it and feel like you know enough, and that you could then jump back and read the others. You know, and to me, that, as a longtime comic book reader, especially when I was a kid in the 60s and 70s, you often found yourself stepping into the middle of a narrative that you had really no idea about, like, who are these characters? And where this happened a lot was in Marvel comics. DC didn't really rely on continuity quite so much, but Marvel comics did. And so you always had the sense that I'm in the middle of something. And either you had the kind of energy of, like, I want to find out more about that, or you went, I'm really confused. So I think I built it in a way where you could jump in at any point and feel like, oh, I'm interested and want to see what the other things are. And the other stories are available digitally via Amazon.
Okay. So the other story, so the sequence 1 through 4 is available on Amazon.
And correct.
The fifth one's on Asimov's for now.
Right. The fifth one was published in Asimov's. And I'll probably make that digitally available as well.
All right. I'm told the concept of the fifth story altered over time. Do you want to tell us about that?
Yeah, that's related to, I think, how, you know, being a writer, you're not just trying to contend with what's happening with characters within a story you're writing, but you're also experiencing the real world, and there are real world concerns that are just a part of your psyche, and also things that are informing you. You read things, you watch movies, you read other writers. I wrote other things in between these stories. And so the context for the story changes as you move along. These stories don't take place just in this kind of within their own narrative confines. They're always interacting with you as a thinker and as a writer living in the world. And so the previous story had come out 10 years ago, and it's been quite a ride in American history in the last 10 years. And a lot of the things that have interested me have affected that story. And a lot of the things that have interested me socially, politically, culturally, and then the things I've read as a consequence of that. So the story did have many of the same components in its original conception back when I did initial drafting back around 2014 for it. And then the story got set aside, and then portions were lost, or an update was lost. And so one of the things that became of greater interest to me, it was always a component, as I recall, of the story, was the notion of sort of a religious or cultic component to the story. Now, that had always been there. I had set up from the beginning a sort of quasi-messianic narrative. And this takes place even in the very first story, helping them take the old man down. This notion of a character who can intervene in history, which raises questions that do border on the religious question of theodicy. Why does God allow evil to exist? What's the nature of the divine if we live in a world that is so broken and seemingly irreparable? And yet, you know, people believe, people have faith, people act out of that faith, people believe things that you wouldn't believe and act on that. And so all of that was roiling around. And I have part of my background, part of it's in English literature, but I also have a background in religious literature and history. And so I think about that stuff a lot. And then over the last several years, too, I've been listening to a lot of discussions and podcasts about cults and high control environments, charismatic and messianic figures, why people believe these things. And so that, I think, was amplified and played into how the story played out. Also, the original draft of the story was much longer and more convoluted. I had this whole other act that I liked. I wasn't sure exactly how to get there, but a lot of other than movies and books that came out did some of the same thing. And so I thought, like, I'm going to pull that out of there and tighten up the story and rethink how to focus this plot. So those are some of the things that happened.
Is this the part about patience where you're writing speculative fiction, but you need to think about patience? Tell me about that.
So patience, I'm not even sure I possess it, but you know, what are we waiting for? As a writer, especially in the current environment, there's such a slow turnaround. When you send things out, it takes a long time to hear back. That has been really amplified in the last, I think, in the last decade. And you hear that from other writers, just that there are fewer venues out there. One of the recent problems is that some of the major venues got flooded with stories that were AI-generated stories, and it slowed down the editorial process really significantly. So you wait for a long time to hear back, and then you might hear back no, and then you send things out again. So there's patience at that level. I think you also, as a writer, have to be patient with yourself in the writing of a story. And my process is very slow. As a consequence, my ideas about things change as I go, and I have to allow that to happen. I have to be kind of patient with myself in realizing that I don't know everything at the outset. I can feel like I do. And that's okay. You kind of lie to yourself, like, I know where the story's going. I think that's important to tell yourself that. At the same time, you're aware that this is probably a longer process and that you just have to wait for the story to work or maybe not work.
Hmm.
I did not know if I was going to finish that fifth story, that fifth old man story. It had been a long time. I had changed as a writer, as a reader. Again, my conception of the story, aspects of it anyway, had changed. The opening of the story always looked like it looks now. But how that played out altered significantly. And it was only after I retired from teaching that I had the time to put into truly revisiting the story and rethinking it and giving myself the space and time to do it and not rushing it. But eventually I had to say, like, all right, I'm giving myself this much time to really finish this and focus on nothing else. And I was able to do that. But yeah, I think any writer needs patience with themselves, patience with their own abilities. It's, you know, it's not a fast road race. Yeah, so it's had me thinking about that. And especially as you get older, you think about how is time going, and that is, you just have no control over that. I mean, it's just time is the fire in which we burn, and that's the way that works.
However you found Sci-Fi Thoughts, be it iTunes, Stitcher, or any of the other podcast aggregation services, if you've enjoyed the show, go ahead and do us a favor. Go to wherever you get this podcast and leave us a review. Even clicking a few stars. And this will help out the show in many ways. We've got goodies in the show notes. Check them out and you will find links where you can find Tales of the Old Man, stories from William Preston, among other things such as his blue sky profile. What are our show notes? Show notes show up right in your podcast player for your easy access. But if you downloaded this from a website, then you can just go back to the website where you got the MP3 and you will see the show notes there. Next episode, more William Preston.
If Americans could get more kind of thoughtful distance from their own history and judge it fairly, to look at it in terms of like, look, Italy, Spain, Germany, Japan, there are other major nations that were the centers of intellectual development, artistic development. The people were people. And right now you're looking at, Venezuela is undergoing some big change. It's always happening. And to see ourselves as unique is what kind of knocks us off kilter sometimes, because we don't see it as like a familiar historical event. The cyclical nature of history, we've inherited a sense of history, and I think this comes up in the stories, we've inherited a sense of history as progress. Partly that's the legacy of capitalism, partly that's the legacy of the ways in which capitalism was tied to Christian colonialist expansion. There are notions of progress and how we understand that. And a lot of cultures down through history have not understood time that way and have not understood their own history that way. They've seen it instead as cyclical.